Support for this podcast comes from Wild Turkey Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. Let's tune in to their one-on-one with Jamal, a real bartender from Old Fourth Ward in Atlanta.
I really get into the backstory of whatever I'm pouring. Out of respect, there are literally years of experience behind these bottles. Wild Turkey, same recipe since 1942. If you want a true classic, this is what you want to order.
Wild Turkey. Wild Turkey Distilling Company, Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. Copyright 2020, Campari American, New York, New York. Never compromise, drink responsibly.
Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by DraftKings.com. I'm Shannon McDaley-McEwen, hosting from Madison, Wisconsin, with Ken K-Train Kreitz, calling in from the Green Mountain State.
Ken, very green. We are not getting any snow, man.
No snow. Only a 10% chance of snow in Madison for Christmas.
Very green.
My wife is upset about it.
Oh, boy.
It also doesn't hide my, I wanted the snow to be hiding my lawn by now because
I
moved in, don't have a lawnmower, and the previous owners definitely decided like a month before moving out, they said, we're moving out soon. Let's not mow. It's like a jungle. Like, I mean, there's just, the grass is knee high. I have to go pick up the dog poop in the yard. That took me like 35 minutes today. It should not take that long.
Yeah, that's nasty. You're gonna have to get it's a good excuse to meet your neighbors, borrow the mower for one run.
I thought about doing that.
I know how you love to, I know McDaley how much you love domestic work. All right, well, we have to get in my forced hip hop quote beginning. So hello, McDaley, throw your hands in the air like you're a two player. Happy Friday.
My hands are in the air right now. We need to simulcast this so people can actually see them. And happy Friday, Ken.
The RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast is available on iTunes and Stitcher. Please subscribe and review us. Today we're going to go over recent news, including the lack of snow in the Northeast. We're going to give a quick expert league update, but most importantly, dive into Shannon's thoughts on daily fantasy for tonight's busy slate of Friday games. Shannon, good to have you back, sir.
Glad to be back. Too many off weeks for us. Lots of traveling for business and family. And then we've got a couple holidays coming up. So this is our last show until 2016.
All right. That is true. Hey, for future January shows, if you'd like to ask us a question or suggest a topic, please tweet us at RotoShannon and at Ken Kreitz. Now let's hear from our sponsor. We've partnered with our friends at DraftKings for an exclusive RotoWire Fantasy Football contest for the final few weeks of the football season. RotoWire podcast listeners can compete against each other as well as Shannon and I and other hosts to earn a seat at the RotoWire Fantasy Football Championship for Week 17. The Week 15 qualifier is now live, just $5 to enter, and the winner takes home $50 this week, as well as a seat in the Week 17 championship for a chance to win $500 in Week 17. Anyway, join in the fun now. Sign up at rotowire.com/DraftKings. That's rotowire.com/DraftKings. Also, Shannon, tell us about this ugly sweater thing they got going.
Yeah, DraftKings has a promotion right now at like 12 giveaways of the holidays. They're 12 giveaways leading up to Christmas, one each day. Today's is an ugly sweater. If you check out their DraftKings social media, Facebook, Twitter sites, they have details there on how to get yourself one. But they're beautiful, beautiful red DraftKings sweaters. I need one badly.
You definitely need one. Go to DraftKings Twitter or Facebook feeds for more details, or I'm sure there's stuff on it at DraftKings.com. Let's dive into the news. And let's start with big men in your area, Shannon. Greg Monroe, a late scratch Tuesday, then didn't play Wednesday. This surprisingly starting Plumlee, but really splitting the time between Plumlee and Henson. Any thoughts on the big men in Milwaukee?
Well, Greg Monroe is only he's only going to be out 7 to 10 days, so it's not it doesn't make Henson or Plumlee a must add in a season long league. Maybe if you need a short term plug in just for next week, you could look at one of those options or both. I personally like Henson more. Ton of upside with rebounds and blocks in particular. The only issue is he's not getting a ton more minutes since Monroe's out. I mean, basically bumped up from like 15 to 20, 21, 22 minutes. But he does have the most upside, and he might put together a couple really big games. Do you like Henson?
Yeah, you never know. You never know when he's going to explode for 6 or 7 blocks. He's actually the kind of guy I could really use well in our keeper league. He just every now and then he just has one of those huge block nights, and you know, really longer term. Yeah, I know that the Bucks are planning for a long time to sign Monroe, but I always thought they should let Henson start and just get some more outside shooting. I think the spacing is terrible for me on that Bucks offense with Middleton, the really only outside shooting option. You know, Carter Williams' field goal percentage has been terrible. Parker, I don't think, is a stretch four, really. Giannis, we don't want to even get into his shooting woes. He seems to be good at everything but. To me, I'm actually curious to see how they do with Henson at the helm. But obviously, it's too late. They've already signed Monroe to that giant contract, so I should be
quiet. Henson's one of those guys that everyone's been waiting on. They've been waiting on the upside for years now, and it's never really been there. It's because every once in a while, he'll have a big game. You know, he'll go for 15 points and 17 rebounds with 4 blocks. But those days are few and far between, and as someone who's seen a lot of John Henson, I think he's just a bonehead. He makes a lot of bad mistakes. You know, even on defense, yes, he gets blocks, but he misses assignments. On offense, he's not all that great. Most of his points that he does get are off easy dunks, putbacks, things like that. So I'm actually not a big John Henson fan. His defensive presence, as far as his ability to block shots, would be good for that team. But they need, I think they need the low post scoring that Monroe provides.
Well, I defer to your greater Bucks knowledge, sir. Next, this just in, Will Barton is awesome. That's really not a news item, but it's a shameless plug for the Rebound and Rant column on RotoWire. This week is the Will Barton issue, as I was celebrating what was my short-lived time in first place in the Keeper League. I'm going to dart around. Might as well give our Keeper League update here. I have fallen to third after a brief respite in first place. Shannon, the McKillers, they're struggling. They're struggling, brother.
Oh, they're really bad. The beginning of the year, I got excited about Brad Beal. You know, he started off the season really strong. He was probably my strongest player after the first week of the season. You know, his injury woes have any hope I did have, which there hasn't been much hope. I've been at the bottom of the league the entire season. Any hope I did have is just now gone with Beal's latest injury news. So it's time for me to sell off any pieces that I do have. I don't really have much to sell, but I'll try to sell somebody a bridge.
Maybe me. I could use some big man stats. It probably would take. It would turn this podcast into 4-hour version if we tried to hammer out a deal on NAR. But
Brook Lopez, we're gonna hammer out a Brook Lopez deal. Probably before the next podcast that we host together, so we can discuss the ins and outs of that trade discussion next show.
Okay,
he's yours. Okay. He's yours. I'm promising him to you now.
Wow. All right. We'll have to see what awkwardness is included, like back rubs or something. But okay. Yeah, I'm interested in Brook Lopez, assuming he stays healthy between now and our next podcast. Sure.
Deal. I'm probably going to try to get Will Barton from you because he's awesome.
Here's the problem. I can't sell Will Barton as a future, like, oh, he's going to have because he's a key guy now. You know, like, he's not a I'm all in for right now unless I get multiple dudes, but I don't know. What the hell?
He's been great.
I'm never going to be this close to first again. It's time to just whore myself out.
That's what you got to do, man. Sell your body, Ken.
A lot of trade rumors in Houston, both for Terrence Jones and Dwight Howard. I think this just means that they think Demo's healthy again and they love Capella. But what do you think's going on in Houston, Shannon?
I think it's a lot of hot air. I do think Terrence Jones will be on the trade block. Seems pretty obvious. You know, the way his minutes fluctuate, they don't really view him as a key part of the rotation right now. Seems like Clint Capella has really taken that power forward role and ran with it. So I could see Terrence Jones getting moved. I don't see Dwight Howard getting moved necessarily. And it really, what it depends on is who he's getting traded for. Like Dwight Howard for Hassan Whiteside, I don't see that happening. Hassan Whiteside's going to be a free agent after this year. He doesn't really offer more than what Dwight Howard currently offers. There's just as much risk with Whiteside as there is with Howard. I would think the Rockets would rather stick with Howard. I'm not hearing it. I think a lot of these rumors are hot air, especially with some of the bigger names.
I agree with you. I mean, I think maybe their patience has run out on Terrence Jones, but it's not like Demo has a better health record anyway. And Howard, you know, they keep throwing out Boston, but Boston gets mentioned with every trade possibility just because of the draft picks. But I you know, Howard's cavalier attitude will not play well in Boston. They will boo him mercilessly.
Right.
He's the antithesis of the Avery Bradley hustle style that the Celtics play. But all right. Well, I was watching that Lakers-Rockets game last night, speaking of Rockets, and I saw Julius Randle hit his first career three-pointer. It's a shame it took 25 games into his second season for that. That said, though, Randle came off the bench and Larry Nance started again and had a decent line, 11 points, five boards, a block, and a steal. D'Angelo Russell shot a woeful 1 of 9 from the field, and Reggie Miller kind of ripped into him a little in the broadcast. And Kobe shot a surprising 9 of 16. You know, fantasy-wise, I like to always dig for gold in the really bad teams because they're the ones in turmoil that make the rotation changes. You see anything worth investigating in that L.A. Laker lineup, Shannon?
I think a lot of these guys, even with the starting lineup changes, a lot of these players have actually responded well to it as far as their production goes. I mean, the Lakers as a team haven't responded well. They're like 7-1 in their past 8 games, but these younger players have responded well. I mean, Julius Randle is putting up really good stats coming off the bench. Yeah, he's playing less minutes, but he's still getting solid point totals, tons of rebounds. I don't expect him to hit many more threes like he did last night. But as a sub, he's got 6 games as a sub. He's averaging 13 points and 10.7 rebounds. Both numbers are better than what he was doing as a starter when he was playing 4 more minutes a game.
Yeah, fantasy-wise, he's basically facing less competition by coming off the bench. It's actually a really good way to work in rookies. I hate to give Byron Scott too much credit, though.
No, I'm not. I actually don't give him credit for anything, and I always will refuse to. It's just that Randle is one of those guys. He's high energy. He's going to be extremely aggressive. You know, he's taking 12 attempts a game in 24 minutes. That's quite a bit. His problem really is his efficiency right now. He's only shooting 41% since he moved to the bench. If that gets up and he shoots a respectable 48, 49, 50% as a power forward, he's going to put up some really impressive numbers.
I know Babyface DJ just traded for him and another young guy as he's trying to rebuild his squad for the future. And he does seem like the classic buy low in keeper leagues, knowing that he's going to shine sooner or later. I thought that was a good move by DJ. All right. Well, with that, Shannon, beloved pod listeners, do you subscribe to rotowire.com? If you like our podcasts, you'll love our website. Try it for free for 10 days at rotowire.com/pod. Tons of features on the site, including almost 250,000 player news updates, daily lineups for all the sports that matter, and try our lineup optimizers for every sport offered on DraftKings. You know what, Shannon? Why don't we dive into your DraftKings Friday night daily fantasy slate of game advice? You up for diving into the point guards first, sir?
Let's do it. There's quite a few point guards I like tonight. There's a lot of matchups that I really want to exploit that I think will be high-scoring games. The first of which is the Phoenix-New Orleans game. You've got just a slew of options from that game. Brandon Knight, he is $7,400. He's played against New Orleans twice this year, and he's averaging 48 fantasy points per game in those two outings. I'm looking for another big outing from him. 74 is actually kind of cheap for him on DraftKings. He'd gotten up to close to that $8,000 range, and now he's dipping back down because he's only been putting up 30 or so fantasy points a game. But he's got that 50-point upside. We've seen it as last week he put up 50 points in a fantasy game. He's done it twice against New Orleans already this year. I expect another big outing from him on Friday.
Well, clearly, you know, frankly, to get guys affordable, you've got to get them when they're on the upswing after those little valleys. It's a great strategy in general to be able to afford a lot of top talent. You're also high on a Memphis point guard.
Yeah, Mike Conley he's a frustrating guy sometimes to target in daily because he is inconsistent. You know, sometimes he has those lackluster games where he only scores 6 or 7 points and finishes with 20 fantasy points total. But he's got a good matchup tonight. He's playing against Dallas. Dallas is really weak against opposing point guards. Conley has put together a good game against them already this year. In 29 minutes in the first outing, he had 36 fantasy points. You look at that, if it's a more competitive game, he gets 30 to 35 points, or 30 to 35 minutes instead of 30 that he received last time. He's gonna top that 40 point mark for fantasy points. So he's good. He's a good guy to target if you're looking for kind of that marginal dollar amount. He's $6,000 on DraftKings tonight. I love the matchup for him.
Yeah, a lot of good options as a point guard. Conley, you got to figure he'll have a good game based on just the average age of the typical Mavericks point guard guarding him, trying to guard him. And I know you're high on Jrue Holiday also. I mean, when you look at the over-under lines, you've got the Pelicans and Suns at 213 points, which makes a heck of a lot of a sense. Surprised to see the T-Wolves and Kings also at 213, but those are your two expected high-scoring games, and so investing on the point guards there make a lot of sense. Sticking with that Suns theme, let's move on to shooting guard.
All right, shooting guard, Eric Bledsoe. He's expensive, $8,400. He's coming off a dud of a game. I actually think that's gonna be a good result for tournament guys targeting him in tournaments. One, that'll make other owners avoid using him, as will the $8,400 price tag. But that rate is actually pretty cheap. Bledsoe was skyrocketing in price before going down to $8,400. He's been great for a significant stretch before the dud. Earlier this week, he had three consecutive games of 50 points or more. Like Brandon Knight, he's had a couple of really good outings against New Orleans. He's went for 41 points on average in those two outings. So again, another big night from him in a high scoring game.
And if you're spending big on Knight and Bledsoe, you're going to need to go cheap. Who's your bargain guard at either spot tonight?
Well, you'd mentioned Jrue Holiday. Michael Carter-Williams is another one. He's $5,900. He did really well against Golden State earlier this week. Plays him again. He's got 40-point upside for someone under $6,000. And then Jameer Nelson. Jameer Nelson, $4,900. That's completely dependent on Moutier sitting out. He's questionable right now. If Moutier sits out, I love Nelson at $4,900.
That's a classic play where you got to check RotoWire an hour before tip-off. See if you know what Moutier's playing or not, and if he isn't, Nelson, you move in on Nelson so you can then afford some other primetime premium guys. All right, we were talking Bucks earlier. That's probably a nice lead-in to who you're eyeing at the small forward spot.
Yeah, that Golden State Bucks game tonight is another one. That game, the Phoenix New Orleans game. Those are two that I'm heavily targeting players from. And that brings me to the Greek Freak. He's only $6,700 on DraftKings. He put together a triple-double against the Warriors in their last outing. it was actually a pretty modest triple-double, too. I'm sorry, it wasn't a triple-double. It was only 11 points, 12 rebounds, and 8 assists. So close to a triple-double. But, I mean, stats across the board. And 11 points, he can top 11 points easy. He's averaging 15 points per game on the season. So if he's able to have across-the-board production like that again, play heavy minutes in a competitive game against the Warriors, then you're looking at 40 or 50 fantasy points.
Well, wait, correction there. I think the Bucks. Oh, no. You're right. It's Warriors-Bucks. My apologies. Yeah, you just know there's going to be a ton of shots. And if the Warriors are weak anywhere on defense, where I'm not sure they are, it might be small forward, depending on how many minutes they give Iguodala. All right. Looks like you're going a big, big money spend at power forward. Talk about which of the two big money guys you're going after.
Absolutely trying to get the unibrow in every single one of my lineups tonight. It's tough because he's expensive, $10,500. But Anthony Davis has been a beast against the Suns. Two games, averaging 63 fantasy points per game. That's such an unrealistic number. It's so absurd. And it can boost your entire lineup so much when you have somebody post 60 points like that, that I'm going to try to get him in all my lineups. I expect another big outing against the Suns. You know, that over-under is through the roof, like you had said. So it's hard. It's hard to avoid him. If you can't stomach spending that much money, Draymond Green's the other option. He's playing Milwaukee, and he had a big game against the Bucks. Their last outing, 24 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists. He's the guy the Bucks were celebrating after they beat Golden State and broke that win streak. And Draymond came out and he was talking trash about it afterwards. And I really think he's one of those guys who that extra motivation I think you'll see in his stat line. He's going to go out there. He's going to have a big game on Friday night.
To me, he seems like their most vocal guy, you know, the one always wigging out when he makes a defensive play, screaming, the chest pounding. He seems like the most emotional in that lineup that would be seeking revenge the most, if you will, as they face the Bucks at home. Dream having a good game. But, yeah, maybe you go expensive with all your big men and cheapen some of those guard suggestions so you can try to squeeze in a Green and a Brow.
If you're looking for cheap options at the forward spot, so you play a small forward, power forward, and then you've got the forward spot on DraftKings as well. So if you're looking for a cheap option at the forward spot, you've got Luau Deng for $4,900 tonight. I don't love the matchup in Toronto, but it's a good price for somebody who has 30, 35 point upside on any given night. And then you've got Jabari Parker. Again, he's in that Milwaukee Golden State game. Did well against Golden State in their last outing. And then Trevor Booker, $4,300. I love the matchup against Denver. He had a good 30-plus fantasy point outing against Denver earlier this season. He's getting some more minutes with Gobert out. So Booker's a solid play on Friday.
And so clearly, if you go with Brow or maybe even Green or try to work them both in at your forward spots, might need to save some money at center. And I see you've got your eye on some discount bargains at the center spot, Shannon. Why don't you elaborate there, sir?
Yeah, I don't like going expensive. You can never go wrong with Andre Drummond, and I love his matchup against Chicago. But tonight, I prefer to go with kind of those mid-priced players at center. Hassan Whiteside's the guy I really like. He's at $6,600. That just seems like a ridiculously low price for a guy who has 40 and 50 point upside. He's had some struggles this year, especially recently, but he's coming off a solid game, and I like the matchup against Toronto. Another guy who's mid-priced like that is Nikola Vucevic. He's $6,800. He's been putting together 35 point games with pretty regularity. I expect a decent game from him tonight, so that $68,000 or $6,800 is a good price point. As far as cheaper options at center, I love Tim Duncan for some reason. He
rested Wednesday, so should be feeling spry, or at least as spry as a 38 year old power forward can be. But Duncan should be ready to go.
It's hard to trust him, but that he's $5,600. That's just so unbelievably cheap for a guy who, you know, he hasn't hit 30 fantasy points in a couple weeks since December 3rd. But he's also still shown he can score over 40 fantasy points this year. I mean, against Atlanta, which is actually a somewhat tough matchup. You know, they've got quality big men that Tim Duncan was going against. And a few weeks ago, Duncan goes off for 45 fantasy points in 28 minutes. I think the minutes are going to be there for Duncan, and especially against Clippers, they've got Blake and DeAndre Jordan in the front court. So the minutes are going to be there for Duncan. He's got the rest. I expect a decent game from him.
Well, I think what I like about the Duncan move is it just frees up at only $5,600. That sure frees up a lot of cash for you to play guys from that Suns Pelicans game, or to dive into that Bucks Warrior grudge rematch, if you will. All right, sir. Did you get to elaborate on Mr. Whiteside there? Was there anything more you wanted to say about the Miami Center?
Everyone knows his upside. You know, he has the ability to go out there and put together a triple double with blocks. I like the matchup against Toronto. I think he's a solid play. That $6,600 mark is just, you're not going to find many guys that cheap who have that 40, 50 point upside as Whiteside. So he's a good option. It kind of ignore the string of 25 point games he put up and just look at his total upside. And that's why I consider him a great tournament play for Friday.
Got it, sir. All right. Well, some fantastic advice there. Let's certainly remind everyone, for those also interested in football, to come join us at rotowire.kings/DraftKings to compete against Shannon and I at our end of season football tournament there. It's going to be an interesting slate of games tonight. You and I will certainly be glued to the television. I want to thank everyone for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast this Friday, brought to you by DraftKings.com. Shannon, do you have any closing thoughts for tonight?
Yeah, I do. Actually, I want to talk about the Madison Rec League for a minute. You know, we've played some basketball together, right, Ken?
We have.
Oh man, so I'm playing on Wednesday and Thursday nights. Two separate teams. The Wednesday night team, I'm one of the younger guys, which is kind of hard to believe. And then one of the older guys on Thursday night. Wednesday was pretty horrible. I went like about 1 for 10 from downtown.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Kind of like Lowry last night. Lowry was miserable for Toronto, but I have a hard time seeing that. You're kind of one of those savvy guys that when you're not feeling it, you set up your other players, but you kept shooting, huh?
I was open. I had to keep
shooting.
Shoot
or shoot. Shoot or shoot, baby.
When that Wednesday night team recruited me to play, they were like, you'll be able to shoot as much as you want. I said, all right, I'll play. So,
is it time to trim the fro? Could it be the fro?
The fro's gone. The fro's gone? Yeah,
I gotta get to Madison more often.
I cut that a few weeks ago. The wife hated it, so I had to get rid of it. I just kept chucking. We still won, so that was good. And okay. You know, despite the poor showing from downtown, I still scored some buckets. We led the team in scoring. There weren't a lot of points to be had, so it was easy to lead the team scoring. But when you have a night like that, you think, okay, that's fine, because the next night is going to be just the opposite.
You'd be feeling.
Yeah, that wasn't the case. I was. Oh.
Are we looking at an extended slump?
It is. I'm like my boy Myers Leonard. I'm in a funk right now. Oh, huh. So I think I
got to do something drastic.
I was like a combined 1 for 18 from downtown the past two nights, which that just means the Saturday morning basketball that I'm going to. I know I'm gonna go like 7 for 7 from downtown. I'll be feeling it soon.
You know, when I'm not hitting, I basically just shift gears into focusing on offensive rebounds, and the only shots I'll take are like tip backs, you know, and or rebound, pump fake, try to get it in, you know, like I don't know. I start to feel guilt and I just get worse. But I don't, you know, I'm due for another game in the Madison office.
I just need to realize I'm not good at basketball anymore.
No.
I'm 34, not 24. And, you know, my problem is I'm good like once every three games, I'm good. Once every 10 games, I'm really good. But that math doesn't work well.
I don't know if we've announced this news, but McDaily has a McBaby on the way now. What's your due date?
June 11th.
So you've got between now and June 11th to just go balls to the wall on basketball, because after June 11th...
I will not play anymore. I already know that.
That's right. You're going to have to hang it up. So really, it's almost like you're Kobe Bryant this year. This is your farewell tour.
That's
in
good.
The greater
That's
Madison
good. I can deal with that, because he turned it around. He's been turning it around the last handful of games.
Yeah, Kobe, not it. So, you know. All right. So you are Kobe.
Kobe.
All right. Well, fantastic, McDaily. Thank you for that update. Maybe you can get some video highlights of the next RotoWire, the young guy at RotoWire League going for posting on the site. You know, let's close yet again with words from the late, great Celtics legend Red Auerbach, who was taking a dig at a certain Bulls and Lakers coach when he said, quote, "Most of our great coaches do some teaching and developing of players. Phil may be able to do it, but he hasn't shown it. His teams have been ready-made." Adios, amigos. Shannon and the K-Train are leaving the station.